Of the W.
What's up, brother? This is the podcast via the W for the 23rd June and the special edition of What a Vaca.
What a Vaca.
You can always reach us at via the W.com or Vaca of the World on our Facebook page. You could reach my brother Art at Art the Podcaster on Twitter. And you could always check my website out for my personal cause, Kidney for Lewis, Kidney for Lewis. And I have Donor for Lewis as well. So, brother, I've been in contact with you.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know that, you know, usually we call out people for being vacas and all of that, but we're going to bypass that this week because your experience right now is of dire need of explaining.
You've really provided me a great support system throughout the day. I needed it. I was in desperate need. I was on sensory overload.
Right.
And so I would touch base with you here and there. And, you know, what I wanted from the day was to meet up with you. And then I wanted to do a live via the W.
Right. That would have been nice.
That would have been nice. I was like, oh, man, this is going to be great.
On speakerphone or whatever.
Yeah. And it would have been great and it would have worked if plans went according to plans, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So here's what happened.
Okay.
A few months ago, my sister tells me my sister does a CrossFit.
Okay.
And she tells me, I have a competition coming up and I really want you guys to be there.
Because nobody believes in more moral support than she does.
That's right. Let me give you a little prequel of how what kind of moral support she gives, right?
She needs.
Well, no, she gives.
Oh, she gives.
To receive, you must give.
You must give. Right, correct. All right.
And so let me break down to you her version of this, right?
Right.
Back in my day, I would run, right?
Yes.
And so my first half marathon, I ran in Vegas. I invite her and my best pal, Ernie. And we go. I fucking run my ass off. My goal was to finish the half marathon in under 2 hours.
Right.
And I finished in like 1:58.
Right.
So I'm having this incredible run. I'm everything, you know, like I'm on cloud nine and I'm thinking, right. Okay, now here's what I did to them. I said, hey, look, I have this race. I'm going to be running. I will finish around 2 hours.
Right.
So see, I give them a timeline, you know, I don't expect that they're going to be sitting out there for 2 hours.
At the finish line for 2 hours.
Right. I give them a timeline. So if they want to go eat, if they want to go do something, you know, and then just, hey, look, I'm starting at this time. Gauge your time accordingly. Right.
Right.
Well, man, I am booking it, and a half marathon in under 2 hours is you know, of course, if you're like a professional runner, it's
nothing.
It's no feat.
Right,
but
of course.
For your normal guy out there.
Right, of course.
It's a feat. It's like, man, you fucking 13.1 miles in under 2 hours. You were trucking, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so, man, I'm making it down the stretch. And I'm thinking to myself, fuck, man, I did it, you know, fuck, I can't believe it. I'm all happy. I'm going to cross the finish line and I'm expecting
right
to see the people I invited to come
right
to
right,
Vegas.
Right. Only, you know, typical. And of course, like you said, expected,
especially since I gave a timeline and I'm like, man, this is, they gotta be there. Right. I mean, So as I'm crossing the finish line, who do I see?
No one.
Absolutely fucking nobody. That's who. I cross the finish line, and then I'm like, you know, I'm like Rocky Balboa when after Rocky won, and he's just looking around like there's all these random people cheering.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, right. Good job.
Right.
And I'm just looking over their heads like, Adrian, where's Adrian? You know, and I'm like just looking around like, hey, where is she? There was, you know, I thought my buddy Ernie would like pull open the rope, and right, then my sister would slip under and then come and be like, oh, you did it. Hey, good job. No, no such thing for me.
Right. Right.
So here's what happened. I finished running, and then my body, after you run something like that, you have adrenaline for a little bit. Right.
Right.
But then your body starts to, as you're like, sit down, get up, do a little, like you start walking around, you're slowing down, your adrenaline is leaving your body.
Right.
You begin to hurt.
Right. Because
you just put your body through some shit, right?
Of course, the trauma of the trauma and of the activity.
Right. So I'm thinking, okay, well, they're around here somewhere. Nothing, brother. Nothing. For about 2 hours, I can't even find them. And they're like my ride back to our place, everything, you know, like there was I was dependent on them being there, you know.
Well, again, let me say this. They were your support system.
Yes. I mean, I just did 13.1 miles. I don't want to walk another 3 miles to get back to my room.
Or to look, or even half a mile to look around where the hell they're at.
Right. So I literally stopped at like a Starbucks. I remember it was at the Mandalay Bay where the race started. And I like found the Starbucks there, and I just sat there like a fucking schmo. I just sat there and like fucking was like, man, these motherfuckers. And then of course, you know, 2 hours later, we just like by happenstance ran into each other, you know? And I'm like, I'm walking around with my shoes in my hand because my feet hurt so bad. And I'm like walking around with my shoes in my hand and down fucking a dirty casino, you know? And I'm just like, fuck. And I run into them and I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you guys? And they're just laughing.
So now the shoe is literally on the other foot.
So now the shoe is on the other foot. She tells me, hey, the event starts at 9 and it ends at 12:30.
Right.
And I think to myself, well, I've got 3 little kids, my wife. I'm not going to put them through 4 hours of like sitting around at a thing, you know?
Right, of course.
And so I'm like, okay, here's what I'm... So I speak to her and I say, listen, look at my situation. I got these kids. What is it you would suggest of me? Because you're going to go like do one heat early. Right. And then when's your next one? She goes, oh yeah, I'm going to start at 9. And then my next heat won't be till like 11, 11:30. And I'm like, okay. Count on me to be there at 11:30. Because I'm thinking I show up, I see her do her thing, I cheer her on,
right,
and then we ride off into the sunset, you know.
Right.
And I'm like, and I tell her, hey, figure out where we're gonna eat and everything like that. Well, as time goes on, I'm coming to realize she's now invited more people,
right, which is a huge no-no for people like us.
I mean, it's just complicating things. I've told stories in the past about my family with restaurants. So My mom approaches me and says, "Hey, are you going to your sister's thing?" I said, "Yeah." She goes, "Me too." I say, "All right." And then my other brother, the Chino, is going. He's bringing his girlfriend, who has some kids going.
Right.
And then my older brother, the golden child, he also gets the invite.
With the three rambunctious.
So he's got his three kids and his wife.
Let me kind of stop you here, okay? And let's just to bring a little bit of reasoning. You know, we consider ourselves reasonable guys.
Sure. Sensible.
Okay, so when you went to Vegas, you only needed a few people, right? For quote unquote support. Now, the reason was you needed somebody to drive you. You need somebody to be there to have your phone, whatever. I could see that.
Well, no, here's the thing.
Uh-huh.
At that time, my sister lived in Vegas.
Ah, okay.
So, you know, it was like, hey, you're going to be here.
You can't get any closer than that.
You can't get, yeah, you know, like, hey, and she was like, "Oh, great, you're going to be in town. Let's hang out."
Right.
You know, and then we were staying at her house.
Right.
So, you know, I'm like, "Oh, okay, we're staying here," you know, like the run starts early in the morning. And so to get, you know how it is when you go to those runs and stuff, you have to get there early and all get right. Get situated and everything. So, I was literally out there like at 6 a.m. You know, so what happened was I had to have her drive me out there and drop me off. And then I said, "Hey, you crazy kids, go out and go hang out, go have breakfast, whatever."
Right.
The race starts at 8. Just at 10 o'clock when I'm crossing.
Be there. But that, again, that was your support system. Your support system was just two people who were going to be there, not only to cheer you on, but like just to be there if you needed anything.
Right.
My question is, what is a small Mongolian army going to do as far as support when more than half of that have children?
I'll tell you what. Nothing. It's 19. It wasn't. Two people. It was 19.
19 people.
19 people. Okay. Wow. But yeah, I'm like, okay. Hey, we all want to support. No problem. Whatever. This is important to her. Let's do it. Right?
Right.
So my first dilemma is driving to LA. This thing was in Pasadena.
Right.
And the second I hit traffic, I start tingling, man. I'm like, right. Oh shit.
Right.
And then I hate paying for parking, man. I fucking hate it. It sounds like the most ridiculous thing in the world that I have to pay to go and use the services at a place where I have to pay.
Right.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But whatever. I'm driving around for a while. I can't find parking. So I have to go into a parking place and I have to pay $6 to park.
Wow.
And I was pissed about it's $6. It doesn't matter, but the principle was irking
it's all about having to pay for something that you weren't. Yeah, I get it.
I left out my dad ranked out on my mom, so that he said, "I'm not going."
Right.
He put his foot down and said, "I'm not going to that shit." And then now my mom goes, "Well, which one of you guys is taking me?"
Right.
And she was saying that to me and the Chino, but the Chino disappeared like you know when you see a cartoon and you hear a pachoom, and then there's just a cloud of smoke.
The Chino like a fart in the wind.
The Chino was like Andy Dufresne, a fart in the wind.
A fart in the wind.
He disappeared, and fucking left early off to this thing. So that just left me.
Right.
I say, no problem. Now, what also ended up happening is my sister-in-law
yes,
came into town and she basically invited herself to go along as well.
Of course.
And so now she's going. So I'm riding with my mom's riding with me, and I got the kids in the back, and then my wife and her sister and a couple of the other kids are riding in another car. Anyways, right. We caravan out there, and my mom is freaking out, and she's like, let me out, because I'm like, Mom, I got to find parking. Well, let me out, because you already have me late. It's already 11, and she said it started at 9, and I'm already late. Just drop me off here. I'll walk the rest of the way. I don't care. It's my only little girl and all this shit. So I said, fine. I drop her off at the front of the place. I say, fucking go.
All right.
And she gets out. She goes, and I go. I figure out the parking situation. Now I'm already steaming a little bit, but I'm starting to cool off a little. And I show up to the place, and it's fucking crowded, man. There's no seating.
Right.
It's just a muggy gym.
Right.
You know, and I'm like, hey, all right. Eye on the prize. It's for your sister.
Right.
Show a little support, and right. You're here. Right. And her boyfriend is also competing. And I said, you know, good thing for us to build on our relationship. No problem.
Right.
And so I get there, and it's just, you know, I can already tell that this gym is not organized.
Right. You know?
And I'm like, oh, fuck, here we go. And so that's when I made phone call number one. I called you. I said, hey, man, fuck, dude. You know, you gotta talk me off this ledge.
Now,
so you try your best.
Here's the thing. I always give myself credit for this, because when I meet a fellow person who hates these situations like I do, I never say, well, you're there already, why don't you make the best of it?
Right.
I never say that, because saying that to somebody like us might as well kick us in the nuts, because it does us no good. It gets us angrier, and there's nothing dumber than saying, well, why did you come here all this way if you knew you weren't prepared to have a few setbacks? Or
right.
I don't say like, hey, you know what? You're here already. Might as well enjoy it. So yeah.
Right. You didn't give me that. You did. The best thing, which is, oh fuck, that sounds horrible.
Right.
You know, you're like, oh fuck, that is bad.
True empathy. True empathy.
And then I got called over like, hey, it's starting. Right. So I go, as I said, you wish me well. And I go on my way, and I go in, and then, her boyfriend is about to start.
Right.
I see him do his thing, and I'm like, wow, okay, that was impressive. Very good.
Right.
And, but meanwhile, my brain is already clicking. You know, I'm like, my brain's already on, okay, the kids are doing this. I'm a dad, so I have to think, when am I going to feed these gremlins, you know?
Right.
And I'm like, okay, you know, do this, that, boom. I'm assessing the area and everything. And an hour goes by. And then I'm like, I start asking questions. You know, I'm hearing people talk, and I'm starting to ask questions. And then I hear somebody say, one of the organizers there, I hear them say, we're an hour and a half behind schedule.
Oh shit.
And I'm like, oh no. Oh no. So then I go over to my sister. I say, hey, so what's the deal here? You know, when are you? She goes, oh, well, at nine, like around 9 o'clock, I already did one of my events.
Right.
And I did well and everything. I was like, oh, great, great. And then she goes, and then I'm going to do one right now. And then I'm going to do another one. And I said, okay, all right. And so now I'm on gauge mode. Like, okay, how long does it take between this one to the next one? You know what I'm saying? So I'm like starting to gauge everything.
For people who can't understand our type of thinking, when somebody tells us an hour, we say, okay, an hour 15, an hour 20 max, and a countdown automatically starts.
Yeah, you give the benefit of the doubt and you say, okay, well, give them that extra 20-minute grace period.
Correct.
And you're okay at that time. You're like,
and you didn't have to go crazy or anything like that. We know that there's 20 minutes to burn because there couldn't be anything else.
Right.
And we start counting down without any type of anger or anything. It's just a countdown that because you told me an hour, I'm giving you an hour and 20, and it's counting down little by little, but it's counting down.
The countdown has begun, and I'm just like, okay. And it's not like I set a clock. It's just mentally I know, okay, she told me this event is from 9 to 12:30.
Right.
And I use our logic there and I say, okay, let's say it runs till 1. Big deal.
Plus right? The guy said he's late an hour and a half.
The guy's like, he's late an hour and a half. So I'm like, hey, he's going to pick up steam here, you know, get things going, right?
We're going to cut corners, do whatever we need to do to get back.
Right. So we're there. And her first event she does her, well, now second event that the first time seeing. And now it's around 12:30. And she finishes. She did great. I was very proud. I was very proud of her. She did good. Right. And then I was like, man, she's fucking badass. Like she's, if you've seen her lately, you'll be very impressed by her physique. She's got these tree trunk of legs. Right. And, you know, she's fucking pretty solid and muscle and she looks fantastic. She looks beautiful. Everything's great.
All right.
And she did really well. She pushes hard. And so I'm like, oh, fucking fantastic. She finishes. I cheer her on, man. I'm literally like cheering and giving the support system.
Right.
And she finishes. And then she comes over and says, all right, so my next event isn't for about an hour and a half.
Wow.
So I'm like, oh, fuck. I mean, hour and a half. I mean, it's about 12:30. Now we're looking at 1:30, 2 o'clock. I'm already, like, now I'm a little agitated, but...
Right.
I say, okay, I got to feed these gremlins. Where do you suggest I go? I don't know this area. You know, give me a suggestion of a like cool little hotspot or something, you know?
Right.
And she's like, oh, there's nothing here. There's a hospital over there to your east, and there's a hospital to your west, and there's really nothing in between except the Burger King.
Right.
And I'm like, well, fuck. She's like, oh, just drive to Old Town Pasadena. And I said, look, I'm not driving again because I just fucking dealt with the parking.
Right.
I'm not about to get there. I'm not even getting in that truck. I'm walking. So don't tell me to get in the truck. I'm not getting in the truck because then I'm going to have to pay for more parking at Old Town and then come back and pay for parking again. I'm not doing that shit.
Right.
She's like, oh, no. Okay. All right. Go ahead and just go to Burger King, I guess. I say, okay, now everyone knows I'm doing the keto diet. I can't have no sugar, no carbs. I've been on this shit. I'm down like 15 pounds. I'm 5 pounds away from my goal. I can't fuck it up with some Burger King, you know?
Right.
So I go, I get the kids situated, I get them eating, and me and my wife are just sitting there smelling these delicious fucking French fries and chicken nuggets and whatever.
Right.
Well, not to mention though, the way to Burger King, we looked like one of those fucking Mexican caravans of immigrants, you know.
You're like looking for asylum.
Yeah, we're looking for asylum because it's me, my kids, the whole group of us, everyone who went there to cheer on, all 19 people are fucking walking like a fucking caravan, and we're you know, we look like we're protesting. Either we're protesting or we're like cheering that Mexico, celebrating Mexico's win of soccer or whatever.
Yeah, all you needed was a live band to come up and say, hey, so tell us what you're celebrating.
Yes. I mean, if there was a news reporter, they would have stopped and been like, what is this march for? Are you marching for the immigration laws or whatever? But anyways, we get to the fucking Burger King. I feed everyone, and then I'm fucking sitting there like, all right, this is gonna suck.
Now the aggravation's kicking in
Yes, the aggravation's kicking in, and I have my sister-in-law, which is a very assuming gal.
Right.
And so we get to the Burger King, and she looks at me like she's shying away from the register, you know?
Right.
So like I'm trying to figure out what I'm gonna feed all these kids, and then I'm like, I see that she's shying away, so I get the gist like she doesn't want to pay, right? And I'm like, oh, all right, whatever, it's fucking Burger King. And then she comes over to me as I'm like about to pay, but like in a very like, hey, do you need me to give you a couple bucks? That was what she said. And I was like, nah, it's all right, you know, whatever. And she's like, okay. And then walks away. And I'm like, ah, fucking shit. I don't mind. They're my nieces and nephews, and I don't mind.
Right.
But the assuming kind of gets
me. Again, we are people who the principal pisses us off, and that's the principal. That she's shying away on purpose.
She should have done the fake going in the purse thing, and then I would have said, "Hey, don't worry about it."
Not, you know? Did it piss you off more that I called it out, or both that I called it out and?
Well, this is true. When I made that first phone call to you, you said, oh, your sister-in-law's there. That means you have to figure in you're paying for her meals.
Right.
And I said, nah, man. We're not going to do that. And you said, yeah, all right. So, yes, as I'm at the register, I'm like, this motherfucker was right. Fucking Platsky was right. Now I'm even more mad that I was wrong. But anyways, I get the food. We do the thing. And then I text my sister to – we agreed she would text me as her event was close.
Right.
So she texted me and said, hey, 20 minutes, blah, blah, blah. I said, okay. I get over there. We finish. We caravan back to our fucking, we do our hike back. I pay the coyotes to smuggle us back. We get back and everything. And then, now I'm fucking starving, man.
Right.
I'm fucking starving because I was just in a Burger King smelling food.
Right.
That I couldn't have.
Right.
And now I'm fucking hungry. And mentally, I thought by 12:30, we're leaving the place. No later than 1 o'clock we're leaving, which means by 1:30, I'm seated somewhere ready to eat.
Right.
But that's not happening. I'm going to watch part 2 of this event. I go... We're waiting for this event to happen again. I call you quickly and I say, hey, remember what you said? You were right.
Oh, shit.
I say, you know what? You were right. I just had to tell you that. And then I have to go back. Right, so I right. that was pretty much it. I just, you know, I got to give credit where credit's due. And I say, yes, I did pay, and you're right. So we go back to, I watch this next event.
Right.
And she kills it, man. She does really great. Again, my the level of pride that I had for her, because it, you know, no one can fucking not any 5'3" little Mexican girl can go and fucking lift a big rig tire over her head 40 times, you know, like not anyone could do that, you know.
Right.
And so I'm like, all right, the feats of strength. She's accomplishing these feats of strength. I'm proud.
Right.
And the pride is overpowering a little my distaste.
Right.
Of the times and everything.
Right.
Then I'm like, okay, are we good to go or what? And she's like, well, I'm waiting for my boyfriend to finish his. And I say, oh, I did not account for this.
Right.
Now, he's a nice guy. He's a hell of a guy.
Right.
I like him. I really do. But I would have appreciated a little bit. He listens to our show. He listens to our show. And so does my sister. So they're going to hear this. And I want him to know. I would have appreciated a little bit of, hey, man, I know she told you 12:30.
Right.
It's going to be fucking 4. Because I was there till 4 o'clock.
Oh,
I was
my there gosh.
Till 4 o'clock. What should have been 9:30 to 12:30, which I planned for and therefore got at 11.
Wow.
Turned into me having to be there from 11 to 4.
Without eating.
Without eating. And
in a muggy gym or whatever the hell it was.
You know, I'm no stranger to gyms, but
right.
Yes, a muggy gym. There was a lot of beautiful women. That was nice. I mean, you could look at a lot of the chicks and stuff, but when you're hungry and you can't eat,
you could see a naked woman in front of you and it wouldn't do anything if you just want a piece of meat.
Well, I mean, it's not that. It would do something if you could touch it, but I got my wife right there. I can't even touch any of the fucking thousands of vaginas around me.
Oh.
So I'm like, oh, you know, you got to keep your eyes in your head, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Head so, I mean, I'm showing restraint from all different angles, baby. I'm all on it, you know? I've got to show restraint.
Your appetite restraint, physical restraint, mental restraint,
sexual restraint. I got restraint up the wazoo, man, and I'm just becoming more anxious than ever.
Right.
And so I tell her, hey, where are we eating? I need to know where we're eating because I have to account for all these people, and I gotta make sure it's a fit because they're not the best at restaurants.
Correct.
And so I can't go to just like any restaurant because it's going to be a disaster. We have to plan.
You got to remind everybody that it's one of your biggest pet peeves to go into restaurants and not have a clue.
And not have a clue, man. So she tells me, hey, don't worry. There's this barbecue joint. It's a really relaxing vibe. It's loud, so it doesn't matter if our nieces and nephews are loud and there's people walking around and blah, blah, blah. It's a really relaxed environment, and it's like bench seating, like almost like picnic bench style. Right. And I'm like, okay, all right, this will work. We can even make this work.
Even though barbecue has sweet shit that you can't eat because you're in your diet.
I said, you know, at the most inconvenient part of this will be that I have to tell the guy like, hey, hold the sauce or something, you know?
Right.
But I'm willing to do it because at least I'm going to eat some meat. Right.
Right.
And I'm like, okay. All right. Okay. I can do this. So time's ticking, man. And She goes, okay, I'm calling in a reservation. I say, oh, perfect. She says, I'm going to call in, and then this way when we get there, boom, they're going to seat us. The place is only a couple miles away and everything. I said, okay, all right. But things are lagging. Things are lagging because she's got friends at this place, and so she's the, you know, the talk of the town, and she's here and there, and then, you know, high fives, everybody's high-fiving, and then, you know, she's waiting for some kind of, like, award ceremony, you know, like, who won, who did, you know, like, something right. like that.
Right.
And I just say, fuck this shit. Fuck it, man. I'm going. You're going. I know where our destination is. Let's go. So as I make my movement to go, everybody else says, yeah, let's go. So we're all leaving. We're all leaving. 19. Huh?
All 19.
All 19. We're all moving, and we're all going to our separate cars, and then we're going to drive there. And I'm like, okay, fuck, I'm mad. I'm like, I'm fucking hungry. I can't believe I've waited till fucking 4:30 now to right. fucking eat. It right. should have been done at 1 o'clock, 1:30. I'm pissed. We get to the restaurant. The Chino beat me there. And he goes, I asked them for our reservation. I told them, you know, hey, party of 19.
Right.
For Ray or my sister. And they say, nope, we got nothing.
Wow.
We got nothing, and we wouldn't take a reservation that big to boot.
A kick in the nuts.
A fucking drop kick to the nuts. So then the server goes, hey, look, but here's what we can do. We're going to, because there's no way we can even, we're looking around and there's no seating that's like what she mentioned. It's all like it's more like a fucking Chili's or a IHOP or whatever, you know.
Booths and shit like that.
Yeah, just booths and tables. And not tables that they can like move to conform a huge, you know, thing.
Right.
Like there's no conforming to this 19 people caravan.
Right, right, right.
So they say, here's what we'll do. We could take 8 of you now, and then when we get another booth to open, we'll take another group of you, and then we'll take another group of you. So they split us up into 3 packs.
Wow.
Just as the people in the border are suffering right now, you know, like they're separating the children, the children from their parents. I felt one with my people. So yeah, they separate us, they break us apart, and I say, fuck this. I'm like, fuck this, I'm hungry, I'm sitting down first.
Right.
And I go and I take my fucking family and my sister-in-law and her kids, and we made a total of 8, and boom, we got the first booth. And we order our food. Boom. My brother gets seated. He's in my line of sight, at least, you know, right. He's like, you know, like 10 feet away. And then the golden child gets seated like in the back of the restaurant, you know? And, so now I'm looking at the situation and I'm like, what the fuck am I doing here? I could have done this 4 hours ago. I could have been like, okay, I'm out of here. I'm going to go eat with the people I came here with.
Right.
I could have done that at any moment. Like the whole point of going to the restaurant as a family right. was for all of us to be together.
Right. To eat together.
To eat together and to do like the congratulatory, feet of strength dinner,
right?
You know, and to say, wow, you were great, or whatever.
A toast,
and,
Sparta or whatever the fuck
you. Yes, yes. You know, a toast to Sparta. And this was not even in the cards. And then I get my food and I look around and I realize my sister is not even here yet.
Oh, there's so a support. Like, there's a support.
I'm like, wait a fucking minute. So now I'm heated, man. I'm so mad. I can't even eat correctly. I'm so upset. I'm just like, fucking. Because I wouldn't have chose a barbecue place.
Right. You would have chosen something that would have been good for your palate.
I would have chosen I went on Yelp and specifically looked at like a lot of other options. And I was showing my brother, I was showing the Chino like, hey, what about this place, man? Look, they got like these great looking like steak salads and right. like shit that I can eat. And I'm like, right. hey, what about this? And he's like, what the fuck is wrong with you, man? Why? What do you mean you don't want barbecue? Why are you making things difficult? Everybody wants barbecue. We're going barbecue, you know? And he's making me feel like a bitch.
Right.
And I'm like, ah, yeah. And I tell him, I say, you know what? And I told everybody, I said, hey, I'm on a stupid diet. I'm not going to inflict this diet on everybody. I'll find something anywhere. You guys Correct. Decide, and I will fucking find something.
Correct.
So they picked the barbecue for the joint.
Good, for the greater good. For you're just like, good. Hey, you know what? I'm just going to make the pass and be magnanimous enough to let everybody else enjoy themselves.
Yeah. I mean, it's not their fault, right? Right. So I'm like, hey, okay, hey, whatever. And so I conform to all this. This whole time I feel like all I've been doing is giving in and conforming and everything. And she's not even there. So now I'm eating and I'm like, my wife is looking at me like, calm down. Calm down. You know, like I'm eating as if I'm in a fight with my food, you know?
All right. There's vitriol in every bite.
Yeah, and then she's like looking at me and she's like laughing a little at me, you know, like she's getting a laugh at my expense,
it's a laugh of funny, while it's a laugh of like, holy shit, this could possibly turn into World War III.
Yes, and then on top of that, my sister-in-law she does not have the tools to be out in public.
Right.
So she is like waving, like our waiter is like across the restaurant and one of the kids is like, could I have my juice? And then she fucking like waves in the air, like, come hither, you know, like, right. Fill my glass again, you know? And I'm like, no. You don't. When he comes back, when he comes around,
he will come.
Yeah. I'm like, this is a nice establishment.
Right.
He will come. And then you ask.
Now, did you feel when you were coming in that people were looking at you?
I didn't. That's not the anxiety I had.
Right.
But once we sat and she's doing that shit, And then I was so frustrated. Her daughter dropped she's like five, and she dropped a, you know, they give you like a little crayon kit to fucking play with. And right. she dropped that shit under the table, and then she went under the table to get it. And yeah. I said, hey, I was upset. I said, hey. And then she like pops her head up and I said, sit down. And she's like, looking at me, and I'm like, look, we don't do that shit here. And she's like, what? And I'm like, we don't do that shit here. Okay. If you drop something, that's why you have a mother, and your mother will get it. You don't go under the table and get it. That's not what's going to happen here. Do you understand that that's not what's happening here today? And she's like looking at me like, okay. And I'm like, I'm serious. Your butt is to stay in that seat. You're not getting up. You're not going anywhere. Your mother, you have a mother, and your mother will be fucking be your gopher kid, right. You know? And she's like, oh, okay. And so I'm like, and my wife's looking at me like, come on, you dickhead, you know? And I'm like,
and the last thing you want is like kids, you know, one kid says, oh, look, what's it's pretty cool here. Then everybody goes under the table and they start fucking around like it's a fort or something.
Yes. Well, and then, you know, my kids, they're well behaved in restaurants, but if there's kids under the table, they're going to be compelled to go under the table.
It's fun. It looks fun. It's a fort, whatever the hell you want to make it. No,
right,
I agree. I totally agree. In public, you don't get your own shit. Your mom and dad gets it for you because you're a dumb little kid.
That's right. You're an idiot.
Yes.
Let the big idiot do it.
Yes.
And so I'm like, I'm just kind of like, even the waiter, I could tell that the waiter was like, I sense a little tension over here, you know?
Yeah. These barely hillbillies are back.
Yeah. I'm like, fucking shit. And, you know, he's like, hey, I didn't know Pasadena was a sanctuary city. You know, and I'm like, fuck, man. And then the lady of the hour shows up and she walks over to my table and I just like fucking put my nose in my phone like I'm not even like aware she's there. And then my wife's talking to her, you know.
Yeah.
And they're just like, yeah, shooting the shit. And then she turns to me and says, "What's with him?"
Man.
And my wife's like, "Well." Now my wife always tries to be nice and everything.
She's a pacifist.
She's a burning pacifist. And she's like, "Well, he's a little upset, you know. It is 4 o'clock. It is past four. You said 12:30. I get it. Not your fault. I get it. Not your fault.
But it is 4:30.
Yeah. And so I'm like, and she's like, "Oh, whatever." That was her response. And I'm like, fuck. I was like, how I want to see you do the feat of strength of getting this 165-pound man from off of your fucking head when I give you a drop kick. How about that? show me you can do that. I've seen you fucking swing a kettlebell, but I'd like fight now. Back. Now is the real competition, you know.
Kettlebells don't fight back.
I was like, fucking put us in a dungeon and close the door, you know. And I gotta say, I was a little disappointed in Ray, her boyfriend, because yeah. I would have hoped that he was a little more organized. He seems like he's so well put together, man. And yeah. So I was like, in my head, I thought this one won't let me down. Perhaps my sister will let me down, but.
Your sister, because of her upbringing and, you know.
Well, you know, she's the princess.
Right.
You know, she can do no wrong and she can do whatever she wants because she's the princess. She's the only daughter in the family. And right. So she's been raised to pretty much do whatever the hell she wants. But this guy has proven to always, like, if he says the time, he's there.
Right.
If he says, he holds her accountable, you know.
Right.
But on this one, I got to say, Ray, I know you're going to listen to this. I got to say, you dropped the ball, buddy.
He dropped the kettlebell and he did a push jerk a little too late or whatever the fuck those.
Yes. You were, you know, you didn't power squat this one.
You did a crotch rocket or whatever. Why does CrossFit have like fucked up names for everything? You know, like the donkey pole or whatever the hell. I never understood. I couldn't get. I mean, first of all, without my leg, but without my foot, but I could never get into into CrossFit just because I couldn't see myself like saying like, "Hey, Art, I did 20 squash struggles today." I just can't get into it. I think it's the dumbest form of exercise.
Well, let me tell you. It's impressive. What they were doing was impressive. I was very impressed. I was very impressed, but I was not impressed with their lack of planning.
Yeah, yeah. No, I get
and,
it.
And Ray has shown me time and time again in the short period of time that I've known him, I've become accustomed.
He set the standard.
Yes, he set the standard. And this time around, I felt like he let go and he just let her take full control. And he was just like, oh, fuck.
He squaddle jocked it or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, he shuttlecocked it. And I tell you, I was a little disappointed in Ray. I was a little disappointed. I was like, he should have done something or said something or he should have done some type of preemptive strike. He should have planned something a little better. He should have had something in mind.
Let me kind of come into this though. I don't know Ray, but I have to kind of put this on. I have to kind of defend him a little bit. And let's look at, just think about it this way. Okay. Just think about it this way. My next argument will be dependent on how many people did he have as quote unquote emotional support.
Zero.
Okay. So in this one, my friend, I will put the detective cap, which we usually do.
I like it.
And I will break it down.
All right.
Ray has been established as a sensible person from what
Yes.
He proves it by having zero idiots come to his fucking CrossFit bullshit. Because he knows how stupid it is.
I don't know because from what I had heard, his family was set to come, but something happened and then they couldn't come.
Well, that's a Platsky move, you know. Hey, son, we're gonna be there. Ooh, you know what? the front furnace broke. I was like, oh, it's the first day of second day of summer. It nonetheless, we need to have a furnace running that full. So to me,
this is the time to get the best price on it.
All right, this is a Platsky, you know. So I would say, you know what? You have 19 of your idiots. You count me out. I would have zero accountability, whether it's you or not. If I was this guy, Ray, and my wife pulled that bullshit on me, I would have said, hey, whatever happens, you're the one who's going to take that because
okay.
I'm not going to be 19 idiots.
Okay. I understand that rationality, right?
Yeah.
But like I said before, he's an avid listener of the show, which means he knows what he's getting into.
Yes. That you can't defend.
He knows what's coming. When he heard who's coming, how many's coming, and all that, immediately he should have thought, oh fuck, at the very least,
we need to get some shit ready.
Yeah, let's fucking shit. I don't know, man. Let me pack fucking 32 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Well, you know, I don't know. Like something.
Now, could it be that this guy likes the draw? That likes the your rants, and could have preemptively sabotaged this to go
for his own enjoyment,
for his own sadistic enjoyment.
That would be a good detective hat theory, because he's a smart guy. He's not a dummy.
There's no way you could turn back social accountability when he's consistently shown it, unless he's doing this for his own sick, morbid, and masochistic enjoyment.
You son of a bitch, Ray. We are on to you.
Ray, you bastard. We know your MO, you son of a
We're bitch. On to you. You can't, you won't be able to hide behind this very much longer. You won't be able to hide behind her skirt very much longer.
He foisted you. He foisted
me. He did. He foisted me. I'm telling you. I mean, what other explanation could there be? I can't imagine that he's just oblivious to it. And he listens to the show. He knows what's going on.
Yep.
He knows how it is for this thing. We've gone to eat together before, and he's seen and sensed what goes on.
He's been part of it. He's seen the after effects of how bad it causes, and he's heard it on the podcast.
Could it possibly be that he's that avid of a listener that he wanted this to happen?
He manufactured this from the beginning.
Wow.
If I had a time machine, I could probably go to the time. Remember when Forrest Gump was talking in the memorial? And then that son of a bitch goes and unplugs all the microphones. I think that's Ray. I think that's this guy Ray, man. He just unplugged everything, so they were back an hour and a half. It's an evil, evil joke.
He did that, and then when my sister told him, "Hey, call and make reservations," and then he's like, "Yeah, I'm on it." And then he sabotaged that.
I'm your man.
No problem here. He single-handedly went down up and down the streets and put no parking signs everywhere.
Right. And then he made this a $6 parking lot, you know. He's an evil, evil man.
Ray, we are on to you, buddy. You thought you pulled one over on us.
All right, so continue. This is way too good.
So then I'm like, okay, I finish my food, I pay, I give the waiter a great tip, because I'm like, I know that what he's been dealing with my sister-in-law.
Now let me ask you this. Did your sister-in-law order something?
Oh yeah, she ordered something. She ordered the family picnic.
Wow.
For herself.
Wow.
The family picnic, which is you get like to choose your a rack of ribs, a chicken, and a brisket, and like four sides. It's like a lot of fucking food, man.
And how much did she give you?
Zero.
Oh, my fucking.
Zero. And she was like, she ordered for herself before her kids.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? And then she was like, what do you guys want? You know, and then they're like, you know, the little one was like, I want. She turns to the waiter and says, "I want just a bowl of grapes." and the waiter's like, "Well, it's like mixed fruit. The fruit that we have is like mixed." And she's like, "I want grapes." And he's like, "Yeah, honey, I can't do that." And I'm like, "Yeah, just bring the fruit, you know?" And she's like, "Okay, you get fruit and fries." You know, like off the menu shit. Like, you get fruit and fries, and the other one, I guess he could share with me.
Whoa.
And I'm like, fucking shit, you know, like, oh my God. And then, of course, she's like really, really pouring it on with like her questions. Like, she told the guy, like she wanted all ribs instead of getting like an assortment of meats.
Right.
And so she's like, can I get ribs and ribs and ribs as my third option, ribs? And he's like, well, there's not really options. You're picking the family feast. And what that comes with is this, this, and this. And she's like, yeah, but I just want ribs. And he's like, yeah, well, that's not what we do. This is what you get.
Like a kid. Like a kid. Yeah,
oh, worse. And then he's like, yeah, I get that's what you want. But if you want the family feast, this is what you're getting. You can choose between the pulled pork and the chicken, but you can't just say, I want all of the most expensive thing on your menu. That's
right.
That's not how this is going to work.
Right.
And she's just, he's like, just look at the menu. It clearly states, you know, and this is like a 2 minute conversation back and forth. Like, yeah, but what I want is like 3 full racks of ribs. No, I understand. I can get you that, but it's going to be substantially more money,
right,
than the feast. So, you know, and it goes on until like my wife is like, yeah, okay, hey, like has to break it down in their language, you know,
right?
It's like, do you want this? Will you eat this? And then boom, boom. And then so it broke it down. I just want the bill. I get it. I fucking pay more than I had. Like, my family's meal was like $80 and I gave like a $30 tip. Because there was fucking crayons and fucking fruit and French fries all over the floor and shit. And I'm like, you know, I'm just like, oh, fuck, man, this is horrible. And I was just like, here, man, you know, like, fuck. And then I'm like, let's get the fuck out of here. And I'm on my way out. And now I have to go get my mom because my mom rode with me.
Right.
And I'm like, hey, are you done? What's your situation here? And she goes, oh, I have to leave. And I'm like, look, hey, you can stay. She's with the golden child, you know? I'm like, you can stay. We all live in the same city. If you want to come home with him, there's room in his car. There's room in the Chino's car. Or you can ride with me now.
Yeah.
And she's like, upset. And is like, oh, well, I guess I have to be leaving now. And I'm like, what are you upset about? And she's like, well, first of all, you made me come eat over here. And I'm like, no, I didn't. I didn't do this. Your daughter did this because of her lack of planning. Well, where I come from, when you go somewhere with somebody,
right,
you leave with them.
Even if it means with a cut off head on the overpass bridge.
It doesn't matter, man. What I didn't know about my mom is that she was part of like a Band of Brothers league.
Behind.
No, there will be no one left behind. And so this is like ingrained in her. And she's like, I understand this other vehicle is going to the same place we're going after.
Right.
But I rode here with you. So she took it as a personal dagger that I was like, hey, I don't want you to ride with me.
Right.
But I didn't do that. And so I had to hear that on the way home. And that was pretty much my evening, man. That was it.
I got to tell you, man. I got to tell you. Give me 1 second here real quick. I am going to tell you my end of the story, which when you were telling me that, hey, what, you called me up early in the morning, which was okay because I was watching the game. And you're like, hey, what are you doing? I let you know that we're not doing anything really special.
Right.
All of a sudden, I say, okay, after I finish the game, I'll be able to go and probably see Art. I tell my wife, hey, let's go see Art. Now, I tell you, this was after the first call, and I'm like, well, you know what? I don't necessarily want to be with so many people, but I haven't seen Art in a while. And I was already flaking. As soon as you told me, I was already flaking. And I started, you know, getting your texts and everything. I just checked out, man. There was no way in hell I was going to be able to be part of that.
But don't you appreciate the level of respect I had, and I said, you know, I have to at least let him know what's going on here.
Right. If I would have shown up and that shit would have been, I would have gone, I would have hulked it, man.
I'm telling you, the level of anger I had, I would have fucking flipped way more tires than any of those people competing. I would have fucking...
You would have two tires at once.
Yeah, I would have fucking done like 800 pull-ups and...
800 jockey straps or whatever the fuck those motherfuckers.
Yes. Dude, I would have fucking... I would have set an all state record. But
man,
at the end of the story, what's crazy is that I'm the bad guy.
Right. You're the one who is intolerant.
Yeah, I was like, my brother told me, hey, man, what you expect? I don't know. I kind of expected to be fucking out of there by 12:30. That's what I was told. Right. For one. And I expected to have some sort of plan as to where we were going to eat.
Right.
And I expected to eat with the people I was going out there to see. It'd be like me saying, hey, man, I'm coming out to see you. Let's go eat. And then right. I sit in a different booth.
Right. There's no point.
Why did I fucking trek all the way out there?
You gonna? Yeah, no, man. Yeah, I.
Well, I'm happy we had this conversation because at the very least, we found out Ray's intentions. You see, Ray, as they say, knowledge is power. And when you've established yourself to be someone that I can trust and someone that I'm like, hey, okay, he's got his shit together. Oh, wow. All of a sudden, she's on time. All of a sudden, things are going good. Whoa, hey, this guy's got his shit together. Oh, my God. And then they pull this. I hope you enjoyed today's show. I hope you enjoyed today's show.
You I could just imagine this guy Ray like Mr. Burns, you know, just kind of like rubbing his hands saying excellent.
He right now, you know, he's like he's waiting for us to finish this and he's gonna get the little alert on his phone. And he has set aside his own mental timer. And he's like, right. These fuckers ain't going to get home till 8 o'clock. Right. When they get home at 8 o'clock, he's going to vent to Platsky. They then will do their show. It will run a little later than often because he's got so much to say. By,
he's probably from, he, let me take a nap.
Yeah.
So I could be
fresh. Yes. He's like, by 10 o'clock, 10:03, 10:03 at the very most. I will be unwrapping my devilish plan.
He's gonna be laughing. He's gonna be petting a cat and or a dog. Evil laugh, just like excellent.
I did it. I did
like
it.
Like a Bond villain. Like a Bond villain.
I did it. And then years from now, he'll write a book called "If I Did It."
Yeah. He's gonna say, "Well, if I killed Art the podcaster, it would have been done this way.
If I gave him a heart attack, it would have been like this.
If I gave him an aneurysm, it would have been like this."
Oh man! All right. Well, to that we say, of the W.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.